Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Mike Ferguson's here. Mike's a new friend. He's the president and CEO of the Self-Insurance Institute of America. And he's here with some research, a survey, employer health benefits survey for this year conducted by the Kaiser Foundation. And he's here to give us a report on this and talk to us about what it takes to be self-insured. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for the invitation.
It's good to have you here. Hey, Mike, one of the things that I wanted to read, I'm going to read this to you folks so you'll see the sort of the universe of what we're going to be talking about. Employer-sponsored insurance covers over half of the non-elderly population in America. 150 million non-elderly, meaning not retired, people who are on Medicare, I'm sure you mean. 150 million of those folks. That's a lot of company checks to health insurance, isn't it?
It is.
Do we know what that number is? We know what the dollar number is.
I don't know what the dollar number is, but about 60 to 70 million Americans receive their benefits through self-funded plans. So it's a big number, and
So of the 150, about half are self-funded or self-insured?
A little more than half, yeah. It's a big number, and it's not widely reported. But it certainly is a significant segment of the healthcare market.
But either way, Mike's statement is correct. An employer check paid for it.
That's correct.
Because self-funding doesn't mean the employee wrote the check. It means the employer wrote the check, even whether it's self-funded or insured. So talk to us about the concept of self-funding.
Sure. If you're an employer and you want to provide employees to your health insurance to your employees as a group plan, you have two options. The traditional option or conventional option is you go to an insurance company and you have them quote you a policy to cover your group of employees, and the health insurance company will quote you a price for a group policy. X amount of dollars, and if that's the way you want to go,
and it'll be based on taking, interviewing your people and asking you questions about the relative health of your employees, won't it?
Well, in the aggregate, they do a basic demographic snapshot of what your group looks like, how many employees you have, that sort of thing, and then the insurance company will come up with a premium.
Won't they also ask you? Maybe this is pre-Obamacare, but won't they also ask you if you have any catastrophic situations in your business?
They will ask for some health information so that they have a basic idea about what your group looks like. And if you want to go that route with an insurance company, they'll give you a quote for a policy, and you pay X amount of dollars at the beginning of the year or quarterly or however the payment goes. And when your employees have medical issues that they seek treatment for, then the bills go to the insurance company, and the mm-hmm. insurance company will pay the bills. The alternative is that you say, well, listen, we think that we actually maybe wouldn't need to spend that much money on health insurance, and we think we could do a better job controlling costs, is instead of paying that premium to a health insurance, a fixed cost to a health insurance company, the self-insurers say, you know what, I think we're better off paying the claims as they are incurred.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like you have other operating costs that you have out of your budget, this under a self-insured arrangement, you would pay costs as they are incurred,
mm-hmm.
Which is the primary cost for your self-funded plan. Now, most self-funded organizations also they utilize what's known as a third-party administrator to process claims for them and sort
right.
of manage the
claim
health
processing.
Plan and some other ancillary, we'll call service providers. So there would be additional costs that
right.
would go also as part of the plan. But self-funded plans that are set up correctly, that run, that are managed efficiently, you know, typically you'll find that you will save money, because when you think about it, when a health insurance company is quoting you a policy for your employees, they don't only have to factor in the cost of the claims, but they
right.
also factor in their administrative costs, their profit margin,
that's
their
right.
marketing costs, their taxes they paid. So that
and potential catastrophic situations that they've got a price in there. So those are those last numbers are numbers that if you're self-insured are going to wind up going if you spent the same money, that money would go to your reserves.
Well, that's the whole idea. Is if you can manage your healthcare costs better, then that's exactly right. That's money that you can retain for your own business purposes. Once you pay that insurance premium to the insurance carrier, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, as a practical matter, let's say you paid $100,000 to use a round number in premiums to an insurance carrier. That money's gone. Whether if you say
right.
you only had actually $40,000 in actual health care expenses, insurance company is not going to rebate that to you.
That's right.
That's money out the door. And it's also, from a smaller or mid-sized business, it's also a cash flow issue. That's money out on January
right.
1st.
Right. But it has to be set up correctly. Let's get it. I've got about a minute and a half. Let's set this thing up correctly, and then we'll deal with some of the other issues in the next segment. But
sure.
But first, what is the minimum amount that you think that our small business should be paying to qualify for self-insurance?
Well, there's not a minimum number.
Well, then what's the gate? What's the entry?
Well, I would say that you'd probably look at it from an employee or plan participant size, and it's probably you need at least 25 employees, ideally 50.
Right.
Although there are exceptions to the rule, there are
a lot of small businesses. Do you have to have an initial amount of money to cover? Is there any requirement for saying you've got to start out with $100,000 in the bank or something like that?
When you set up a plan, generally you do kind of a little bit of feasibility study to sort of kind of get a better idea of what your claims are going to look
right.
like. The number one thing is you need to be self-insured. You need to have a strong balance sheet relative
right.
to what your expected claims, because when the claims come in, you have to be prepared to
be
pay
prepared.
Them.
At the is time there any kind of fiduciary responsibility for this, like you have with a retirement plan?
Oh, absolutely. You have the company has to designate official plan fiduciaries.
And there are regulations. There are regulations for being self-insured for health care.
Yes.
Okay.
Self-funded health plans are regulated by the Employee Retirement Income Security Act,
right.
or ERISA,
right.
and it has very civil and potential.
All right, there you go,
penalties.
Folks. So, but the interesting thing there was the 25 employees.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.